The MLA for the area is Edwin Poots. Morning to you, Edwin.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know the family well.
Yeah, I got to know the Spence family, I suppose, around 30 plus years ago. Noel and Essie came to the same church as ourselves for many years. They would have been in the same youth organisation. I'd have been younger than them, but nonetheless, we got to know them well. My older sister and brother-in-law were particularly friendly with them. My brother-in-law built a house for Noel's father whenever Noel moved into the farmhouse. And Noel was a mighty man, so he was incredibly strong, and he used to arrive every morning and hit my brother-in-law a punch in the arm and say, "What about you, McCready?" And he was hardly fit to lift a block for the next half hour because he had this dead arm, but that was just Noel's way. He would have come up and grabbed you in the side or something, and you'd have been felt it about half an hour later. It's just the nature of the big guy. He was fun-loving, and he liked a bit of crack, but he literally didn't know his own physical strength. And that was something that was passed on to both Graham and Nevin, who's had a young cousin who was a few years older than the boys, and he used to babysit them, and he says he had a wrestle about with Graham, who was 3 or 4 years younger, and he says the strength of that wee lad was incredible. And Graham himself could have made it in rugby. He had trials, but chose to go into farming. And on the farm itself, it was really developed over the last 10, 15 years into one of the larger farms in the area. And they have been steadily developing the farmyard to develop a very good farmyard at this point. A huge amount of investment has been made, but that was just Graham. He was a perfectionist and done everything very, very well. And both him and his dad were very hard working, and we'll just miss seeing them about. Nevin, he obviously was famous for his rugby. And my son went to school with Nevin, got the bus with him. And, you know, really charming smile, great head of blonde hair, as they all had, and a big smile that went with it. And, you know, people just fell in love with Nevin because he was just such a nice young man in everything that he'd done. He was a star in the rugby field, but so modest off it that you couldn't help but like him. And that's just the three men. And sadly, they leave behind Essie, Noel's wife and the mother of the boys. They leave behind Andrea, Graham's wife, and the two children who have no father. And they leave behind the two sisters. And it's just such an incredible loss. The community is numb. We're sick to the pit of our stomachs. But the truth is that, in days and weeks, we will have other things that will attract our attention. We have our own families. We have everything else. And we will be able to move on. But for those relatives that I've talked about, it's very, very hard for them ever to move on from what has happened on that fateful night last Saturday.
Do you know, because I was over in England broadcasting Edwin when I first heard about this. Are there any more details becoming clearer about how this happened?
Well, there is, and the HSC obviously are doing their investigation, but I think for other people, particularly from the farming community, it may be useful to reflect what happened, because it could happen to others. It was all so simple. there was a pup, a young dog, had managed to get into the tank. I'm not sure how that happened. And the wee boy had became aware of it, and he came crying to his dad. He needed to come and get the pup out of the tank. And it was still alive at this stage. Graham, who is very, very, or was very, very safety conscious around the farm and had always been that way, responding to the tears of the child, put a ladder into the tank and went down. And the disruption of the crust of the tank, I think, would appear to have been the problem, where it was quite a confined space and the gas was released. The odourless gas that was released.
So you can't smell it. You can't.
The dangerous gas is something that you can't smell, and was very quickly overcome by the fumes. His dad saw this, and he went straight down to try to get Graham out, and he himself was overcome with the fumes. And then Nevin saw it, and he went down, and again, he was overcome with the fumes. Emma then, the daughter, she was able to go down and managed to get her dad pulled up to some extent, at which point the neighbour had arrived. The neighbour was able to get the dad pulled out, and him and Emma commenced CPR. Emma then went back down and tried to get Graham out, and then she was overcome, and the neighbour very bravely went down and was able to pull Emma out and conduct CPR on her and bring Emma around. So that was what happened, and just demonstrates how quickly the whole thing happened. The guys didn't fall in or anything else. It was one after the other.
That's what I was going to ask you.
And save the lives of their brothers.
That's what I was going to ask you. It sounds from how you're describing this that these fumes can overpower the human body. It must be incredibly quickly.
Incredibly quickly. And
within seconds, is that right?
And within seconds. I described these men. They were the strongest men in the country. These were... Well, everybody would know how fit Nevin was. Graham wouldn't have been far behind him. He maybe didn't work out in the gym, but incredibly strong and fit. And Noel, whilst he was 58, was an immensely strong man. And yet they were just taken out by these fumes in a matter of seconds. And I think that for many farmers, they'll look at that situation and say, but there, for the grace of God, go I. I can remember, must be at least 25 years ago, where my own father had to go into hospital after being disorientated and suffering memory loss after mixing slurry, and at that stage it wasn't as well known about the dangers of it. And you look back on those circumstances, and there's so many people I think are probably in a similar situation where they can look back where they did have the early symptoms of it, which was your eyes watering to some extent or sore heads. My father was at the next point, which was loss of memory and disorientation. And then the next point is actually losing your life. And I think many farmers can actually associate with that and that particular experience.
Is there an awareness, a knowledge of how quickly and therefore the precautions that farmers need to take? Or does that need looked at, do you think?
No, the farmers are very well aware of the dangers. Whenever you start mixing, the first thing you do is get out. So once you turn that pump on, you should have your shed cleared of animals and stay out of that shed for a long time. But at some point, you'll need to go in and take that pump out or turn it around to mix another area. And that is probably where there's a weakness in the thing, where you don't know if the gases have had adequate opportunity to have cleared, and therefore there is a potential risk in that.
I'm just wondering, and I'm not from the farming community, Edwin, so I'm completely naive about this, but I guess I'm wondering if there's any way of making it safer. And I'm, you know, what's in my mind is that we've got these carbon monoxide detectors in our homes and we've smoke alarms in our homes. Is there no type of machinery, or should there be some type of equipment which could give an indication to farmers as to the level of gas? Is that something we should maybe be looking at?
I think it's an absolute must that we do. There's too many men have lost their lives in these kind of circumstances. And I think that, with all of the advances that we have in science and technology, there has to be something which can give some reading of the level of fumes that exist, and when it is safe for people to enter or not to enter a building. Because this is something that we really need to look at into the future, or also the alternative of people having some sort of a mask, gas mask type of thing to wear whenever they're carrying out this kind of work.
You painted a very graphic picture this morning of one family member after the other rushing in to save each other.
Yep. And it was a very natural response.
Yeah.
And it was a family that loved each other and a family that cared greatly for each other. And, you know, people might wonder, what was Nevin Spence doing even on a farm whenever he was such a talented rugby player? And sadly, actually, Nevin wasn't even supposed to be there. He was somebody had called and he got held back and therefore was late for what he was going to. But farming is in the blood, and people like doing farming because it's something that is just in them, and it's sort of indescribable. I suspect people who live in the city or town may not understand it, but you know, Nevin used to come home from rugby and put on a boiler suit and go out and milk cows. Well, he didn't do that for money. He did it because he liked doing it and it was part of a way of life. And you know, that is the same for an awful lot of us. I still enjoy doing a bit of farming, and it's something that helps me relax, actually. And people may not understand, what do you want to put on dirty clothes for and go out and mess about with animals? But that's just happens to be in your nature, and if you've been brought up that way, and that was the way it was with young Nevin. Graham would have had the choice of going into a rugby career as well, because he was very talented. And he chose to actually do farming, and again, it's just in the blood.
And you visited with the First Minister at the family home.
Yeah, Peter and Arlene and myself were up yesterday morning, and
I can imagine
that was a very traumatic visit, and we were all touched by it. I suppose the fortitude of the family is something that we all greatly appreciated, and how they're dealing with it. But when you entered the room and there was two coffins in it, a father and a son, and then we went over to the other home and Graham's home and his lovely young wife's there and two little ones, it really drives it home to you.
Yeah.
And just to see two little ones who won't have a daddy is something that was very touching.
Well, listen, I know you as a minister, and that's the capacity in which we normally engage, but this is clearly something very personal and something very emotive to you this morning, and thank you, sir.
That's the impact that it's having throughout the community.
I can hear that.
If that's the impact that it has on the community, that's only a microscopic little bit of how it must feel for the family, and really our prayers and thoughts must be with with the family, not just today but into the future. And I suppose the one thing that sustains them is their Christian faith, and that each of the men had personally sought the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. I know that for Essie and Andrea and Emma and Laura, that's a huge comfort to them, and the family are very confident that they will all be reunited once again. And that does give people hope at a time like this, and just that strong Christian faith that they have. Whilst they don't understand why this has happened, and will never be able to understand it, they do believe that they will be reunited in a better place, and that is something that will help sustain them in the days that lie ahead.
I think you've spoken in a very dignified manner this morning, Edwin, and thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.